Soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Well, the weight on my heart and the load on my shoulder, the burden of sin I once carried around, and I heard a voice say, there is rest for the weary. That's when I laid it all down. Well, I laid it all down at the feet of the Savior. The rest that he gave me is the sweetest I've found. Well, he said, you can trust me, your burden I'll carry. That's when I laid it all down. Peace for my pain and a smile for my frown. My heart is free and my burden is lifted since I just laid it all down.
Well, I laid it all down at the feet of the Savior. The rest that he gave me is the sweetest I've found. Well, he said, you can't trust me, your burden I'll carry.
On the last program, I was teaching on the subject of how to pray for your loved ones who have gone astray and how to pray for your government. You pray for for your loved ones that God will give them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh to the saving of the soul. That is quite in order from the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul understands the importance of the salvation of a person's soul. It's going to be for eternity. So he goes to the very extreme. And when you pray for your government, you pray for the salvation of their soul. But if they're rogue governments, you also pray that God will remove them. The Bible teaches us that Paul prayed for Alexander the coppersmith like this. He said, God reward him according to his works, for he did much evil to me. So these are basic instructions on how to pray for people. We need to stand in the gap, for the saving of a man's soul is very important to God. This is the reason he came to this planet. It was to save a human soul from everlasting destruction. When Adam and Eve sold us out in the Garden of Eden, we were created in the image of God in the beginning. But when Adam sold us out, when Adam decided to side with Satan, we then are created in the image of Adam, for we lost what we had with God at the fall. Now we all have to be brought back through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why Jesus came, to seek and save that which is lost. We have to be reborn. We have to become a new creation. We have to be brought back to our original status. And when we study the Word of God, we can clearly see what it took in the Old Testament for God to keep the Israelites from disintegrating so that Jesus would be born. In the old world before the flood, Satan even tried to contaminate the blood of the human race by angels intermingling and producing children with the women of this earth. He tried to contaminate the blood. That's why, so that Jesus would not be born. That's why God had to destroy the planet. Only Noah, who was perfect in his generations, when you study that, it says he was perfect in his generations. His generations kept their bloodlines pure. And thus it passed through the flood, and from then on, Satan had to work on different other tactics. And the Bible teaches us some very interesting stories, how he almost sometimes destroyed the lineage of Jesus. So today I'll teach on this subject. So before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that you will open people's hearts to what's going on. You will open people's hearts to what happened. You will show people on how serious the situation is that we're in. You will open the hearts of these that are in religion so that they'll understand they need Jesus. The only way into the kingdom is through the blood of Jesus. So, Lord, you will open their hearts. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to anoint this message in Jesus' name. Amen. When the fallen angels before the flood came in unto the daughters of men, they produced giants in the land, thus they contaminated the bloodlines of the human race, except for Noah and his family. And then after the flood, the Lord did something very interesting. In Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1, it tells us, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show you. I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So here we see God taking Abraham away from the rest of the world, and brought him by himself, told him to leave and go by himself. And the orders were given that they were not to intermingle with the heathen. When we go through who they got married to, who Abraham's children got married to, it stayed within his family. We can also see that during the time of Jacob, when this Philistine prince wanted to marry Jacob's daughter, and guess what happened? The brothers, the sons of Jacob, saw the evil and they understood the laws of God, and they killed off all those people in that city that wanted to intermarry with them. That's a very interesting story. If you study it, if you go through that whole genealogy of Jesus, where he comes from, how God kept the lineage of Jesus pure and holy. It's not that they were good people. They, in many cases, were very bad people, but their bloodlines stayed pure. They were not contaminated with the demonic realm. And even though the Philistines, who were Nephilim, who were giants, they even tried to intermingle with them, but God kept it pure. So we see how God worked immensely throughout the history of the Jews to keep the bloodline pure all the way unto Jesus. And then there's an interesting story found in Exodus chapter 32, where Satan got the Israelites to turn against God to worship a golden calf. And then look what the Lord said to Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. I once heard a preacher teach on this one, and I thought it was interesting on the insight that he had, because that would have set back the way to where we are by 400 years, because it took, and even longer than that, because it took 400 years for the children of Israel to become a great nation in the land of Egypt. So God said, Moses, I will make you a great nation. But Moses knew in his heart the true will of God. So he said, Lord, not so. You know the consequences of what will happen when you do that. And God repented and said, okay, we'll go the way you want. That was God's real intention in the anyway. So the thing went on as it came all the way. This genealogy went on all the way. If you follow the genealogy of Jesus, all the way to where Jesus was born. And then he was crucified. For that reason he came. Many people don't understand the crucifixion. They believe that Jesus came to teach us how to live. Yes, he taught us how to love one another and how to live. But the main reason he came was for the salvation of a man's soul. Very interesting. He gave his life for us. The Bible teaches us he became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The Bible teaches us that sin was destroyed in the flesh of Jesus. That's why we need to turn to him, because it's through his sacrifice that we're made holy and pure in the eyes of God. I want to show you an interesting scripture out of Acts chapter 22, when the apostle Paul was given the job to bring the message to the Gentiles and to everyone. And God even tried him there, just like he tried Moses. It tells us, and it came to pass, here's the apostle Paul telling a story what happened to him. And it came to pass when I came against to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying unto me, Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consented unto his death, and kept the raiment of him that them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence into the Gentiles. So God gave the apostle Paul a choice. He could have avoided prison. That's where he ended up, in prison. And there was a good reason for that. This is where he wrote the epistles that we now have to study on how God wants us to operate. If he would have been sent into all the world, would he have time to write what he did? I don't know, but Paul seemed to understand that the will of God for him was that he would be sent to Rome. That is interesting. He understood it, just like Moses understood that Israel could not be destroyed. And he said, Lord, not so. So the same thing with the Apostle Paul. I will not detour from what you have called me to do. Listen to this. When Paul was brought to his knees before when he met Jesus on the way to Damascus. Acts chapter 26 in verse 10. He fell from his horse. The power of God hit him. And he was on the ground. And it says, God said, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of the things that I will appear unto thee. So, not only what you have seen, but I will show you the mysteries, the things that I will show you, to open their eyes. That's the reason God showed him, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is why God called the Apostle Paul. He gave him the job to open the eyes of the blind. He gave him the job to reveal the revelations of God, that they will be taught throughout the world, that they will turn from the power of Satan unto God. The power of Satan is deception, and they need to understand that. And Paul made it very clear that once you become born again by the Spirit of God, if you listen to his voice, then God will open your eyes, and then you will inherit eternal life and be sanctified by faith. Faith in what Jesus did at the cross for us. What an awesome testimony we have. And then we need to understand God kept everything from being destroyed by his power. And this is how he's going to keep it until we are all in the presence of God. In Philippians chapter 1 in verse 6, Paul says, I am confident he that has begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So do you have Jesus today? It took God a lot of doing to bring us this Jesus. And it took Jesus a lot of suffering and heartache to bring us eternal life. We need to get rid of religion and turn to him for salvation. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. The gate is very narrow, And if you have anything else attached except the blood of Jesus for your salvation, if you have anything else attached to you, then you will not fit through that door. So open your heart to these interesting truths and become a blessing to yourself. Amen. When one listens to preachers preaching on repentance, the main focus is on repenting from your sins that you're committing on a daily basis. Many preachers are basically telling you, you have to repent, you have to quit sinning, and then you become a Christian. Well, what does the Bible teach on repentance? The repentance that leads to salvation. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 31, it tells us, "The Lord said unto Simon Peter," that was just before the crucifixion, "Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." What does it mean to be converted? Simon Peter had been walking with Jesus for 3 years. And now the Lord tells him, when you are converted, then strengthen the brethren. What did he mean by when you are converted? In Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, it tells us, "Repent you therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So what does it mean to be converted? What does it mean to repent? The simple explanation of repenting when it comes to your salvation is this. You have to get rid of all your other ideas on how to get saved. That is, regardless what religion you're in, regardless what you have been taught, you need to turn to the blood of Jesus for your salvation. That and only that can forgive, be the forgiveness of sin. It tells us, repent you therefore, be converted, that means become born again, then your sins will be blotted out, and that's when you enter into the kingdom of God. Many preachers have it turned around. You have to repent. They mean you have to quit sinning. Then all of a sudden God will forgive you your sin. No, he forgives you your sin, and then your sins are blotted out. And that happens only after you repent. Repent from what? Repent from what you have been taught on how to get saved. You need to do a total turnaround. Repent, be converted, and then your sins may be blotted out. In Acts chapter 13, it tells us this: be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him all that believe, listen to this, by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So what this scripture is telling us, regardless how you keep the law, regardless how good you are, you cannot be justified. But you have to be justified by the forgiveness of sin from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what repentance truly means. You have to get rid of all your ideas on how to get into the kingdom of God. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then you have been converted. Just like the Apostle Peter, after the crucifixion, he became a Christian. He became filled with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus finished his work at the cross, when he said, "It is finished," when he took care of the sin problem, the Bible teaches us that sin was destroyed in his flesh. Through his crucifixion, sin was destroyed. And then it says, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Only after Jesus died for our sin could Simon Peter be converted. And that goes for all of us. All the Old Testament saints had to wait for Jesus to be crucified before they in reality were justified. That's how scripture teaches us. So open your heart to these interesting truths. Salvation is something that Jesus made available for us. It's not something that we can invent or produce by ourselves. May the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. And that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.